Should I bend this down?
Good morning. In case you're not sure who I am, I'm Jim's wife, Laura. Amen. There's a reason that I'm introducing Jim's message this morning, and it's because I'm living proof that prayer works. A quick recap for those who don't know my story. In 2014, I was diagnosed with severe rheumatoid arthritis, and we asked the church to pray. In 2015, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a presently incurable blood cancer, quickly followed by diagnosis of histoplasmosis, a fungus in my lung, and we asked for more prayer. As both the RA and the multiple myeloma took a backseat to the histoplasmosis, we asked for prayer, for it took 3 long years of heavy meds and a lot of prayer to get it cleared out of my lungs. In fact, the feather children used to know me as the histo lady because they faithfully prayed for me. Because of not taking my RA meds for 3 years, my right shoulder was shot and needed reconstruction surgery, and we asked for prayer. We asked for prayer as I was treated for latent TB. In December 2022, we asked for prayer as I started chemotherapy. You rejoiced with us when in May 2023, I was able to go from chemo of every week to every other week. The chemo needed to be discontinued occasionally for a short period so that I could have various surgeries. From 2020 to present, we have asked for prayer for a C3 to T3 spinal surgery, right knee revision surgery, a port implant, a left knee revision, C2 to C3 spine surgery, and the most recent left reverse shoulder replacement surgery. At times, we'd feared that we were nagging you to death as we asked you to pray for me over and over and over again. But because of your prayers, all the surgeries have been very successful. We know prayer works because in 2023, I wouldn't have been able to walk up here because I was using a walker to get around. After 10 years of praying for my cancer, I know God works through prayer because my latest bone biopsy revealed the cancer in my bone marrow is down to 3%. So I am in remission and a chemo vacation. It feels great to be on a chemo vacation. We know many of you have been faithful to pray for us because we feel your prayers. We knew you were praying for us because you would ask specifically, how can you pray for me? Your prayers sustained us when Jim and I felt like we were losing traction. Excuse me. I knew the saints were praying for me because when I was encompassed in pain and could only pray, help, Lord, I would be held in the Lord's strong arms because of prayer. I was encouraged by texts saying you were praying for me. I received cards that brought the right encouraging words just when I needed them. I want to thank you who pray for Jim because he walked the same journey with me every step of the way, experiencing losses, being hemmed in by my limitations, expending his time and energy to care for me in ways that came way too early, if at all, and making enormous sacrifices. I know people are praying for Jim because no one would have been able to deliver such care without, with such love and care, without the Lord's strength delivered through prayer. I found this poem when I was first diagnosed with cancer, and the outlook was very uncertain. These words were found on the body of a soldier killed in the Civil War. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I, among men, among all men, most richly blessed. I do believe that I am most richly blessed. And lastly, if it's not too obnoxious, we ask that you continue to pray for us because the battle's not over. I have an ankle replacement and lower spine surgery next year. Yet I am confident that good results, because we know you will continue to be faithful to pray for us, and prayer works. So please pray with us that I will have a very long chemo vacation.
Well, good morning, and I too thank you for your prayers. I want to bring actually an exhortation this morning on the theme of praying for each other. Let's start by defining the word intercession. Intercession means a prayer or a pleading to God on behalf of another person. You're acting as an advocate or a mediator between their need and God, and asking before God to achieve a favorable outcome. In 1861, Charles Spurgeon preached a sermon on intercessory prayer. He began the message by pointing out that intercessory prayer has been practiced by all the best of God's saints. Isn't that a great saying? He starts by pointing to Abraham, who wrestled with God over Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember how Abraham said, "What if 50 righteous people are left, Lord? Will you destroy the city?" And he worked the Lord down from 50 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 10. And this caused Spurgeon to reference a Puritan phrase saying it was as if Abraham was, quote, bidding and beating down the price at a street market. He then goes on to talk about Moses interceding for the Hebrew people after they made the golden calf and risking his own greatest personal good by saying, "Spare them, Lord, and if not, blot my name out of the book of life. He goes on to talk about Samuel, how after the people sinned by demanding a king, he said, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." And then Elijah, after a massive power encounter in 1 Kings 18 with 400 prophets of Baal, the scriptures say that Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah prayed for rain. And after 3+ years, rain came and blessed the people of Israel. And then I wanted to show you a quote from Spurgeon about Jeremiah because it's such a beautiful wording. He said, "Forget not Jeremy, whose tears were prayers, prayers coming too intensely from his heart to find expression in any utterance of the lip. He wept himself away. His life was one long shower, each drop a prayer, and the whole deluge a flood of intercession." Wow. He goes on to talk about figures in the New Testament. Stephen, for example, under a hail of stones, prayed for his executioners, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Similarly, Jesus prayed from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And in Hebrews 7, we read that though his earthly life is finished, he yet lives, ever to what? Make intercession for us. And the ever-practical Apostle James wrote, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed." And then Paul, who said, "For God is my witness that without ceasing, I always make mention of you in my prayers." Believer, you have a mighty engine. This is a closing quote from Spurgeon. Oh, believer, you have a mighty engine in your hand. Use it well. Use it constantly. Remember that intercessory prayer is the sweetest prayer God ever hears. While petitions for yourself will be accepted, yet your pleadings for others, having in them more of the fruits of the Spirit, certainly perhaps more faith, more love, certainly more brotherly kindness, they will be as the sweetest oblation that you can offer to God, the very fat of thy sacrifice. You know, we've heard many sermons on prayer from this pulpit, haven't we? And if you look up online or you go to a Christian bookstore, you'll find, many, many books on prayer. Here are some of the titles that I saw just looking at titles of books: Effective Prayer, Purpose in Prayer, The Necessity of Prayer, How to Pray in the Spirit, Release the Power of Prayer, Praying God's Word, The Weapon of Prayer, and so on. But what I want to say to you this morning, my brothers and sisters here at TCF, is that you've taught me something deeper, something else about prayer that I've never heard preached or taught in a book. And that is that prayer, specifically praying for one another at its deepest level, is an act of love. Praying for Laura and me has been an act of love. You've lived out 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one member of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I've quoted this a couple times in my tenure as preaching here at TCF, but please allow me to do it one more time. Martin Luther commented on this verse, which describes the metaphor of how the body of Christ, the church, is like our human body when it suffers an injury. Martin Luther said this. He said, "See what the whole body does when the foot is trodden on or the finger is pinched, how the eye looks dour, the nose draws up, the mouth cries out, and all the members of the body are ready to rescue and to help, and none can leave the other. So it means not the fact or not the foot or the finger is trodden on and is pinched, but the entire body. Have you ever had your hand smashed in a car door or hit it with a hammer? I don't know about you, but my first reflex, other than to shout, hopefully not a curse word, is it comes under my arm like this, and I dance around in great pain. What an image of how our body, our whole body, responds to a sudden injury. And Paul and Martin Luther are saying it's like that with us. When one of us suffers an injury, we all suffer that injury. And when one of us rejoices like we did just now, we all rejoice together. Yes, praying for one another is an act of love. That's really my first point. But let me pull in a scripture here. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. The word burden is baros in the Greek, and it means a weight, a heavy weight, a burden that is too heavy for one person to carry. What Laura has carried has been too heavy for us, and we so appreciate you carrying it with us. So often in our culture, and it's absolutely right, we want to meet practical needs when one of us suffers, right? We want to bring meals, we want to give money if that's necessary, we want to do whatever we can to prop each other up. But so often we're separated by distance, or the fact that what we really need, our physical needs are pretty much met. What we really need is a divine intervention. What we really need is a work from God addressing our situation, a spiritual breakthrough. And so we do what? We ask each other, please, please pray for us. At least seven times in the New Testament, Paul himself pleads for prayer, as in Romans 15, 30 through 32. I'm going to read that verse to you. And I want you to notice how he attaches asking the Romans to pray for him with acknowledging their love for him in doing that. This is Romans 15, starting in verse 30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. When our battle was extremely intense, and we felt that we were sinking, your prayers sustained us. We had the knowledge that some TCF families were gathered around their dinner tables praying for us. Some were in their prayer closets. Some were in their beds. Some prayed in the early morning hours. Some praying every day. Some in their cars. Some while at work. And most all, if not all, praying in the midst of the rain of their own struggles and battles. And like it says somewhere in scriptures, this knowledge is too wonderful for us. And our hearts have been ruined by your love. Your prayers have been an act of love. Okay, that's the emotional part. Hopefully that'll be it. You know, praying for one another is not just an act of love, it's an act of fervent love. A second scripture I want to point to this morning is 1 Peter 1:22. I'll just say it for you. Now that you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth, leading to a sincere brotherly love, love one another fervently, Peter says, from the heart. This word is ektenos, to stretch or to strain forward like an athlete, pressing forward to the finish line. I pray that we could pray like that for one another, and I think we do. Peter uses this word fervently again in chapter 4, verse 8. He says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of potlucks." No, he doesn't say that. "For the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." Let's think about that last line for a minute. Love covers a multitude of sins, and think about the life of Peter. I wish that I could have met Peter when he was mature in the faith, an elderly statesman, if you will, because think about what he went through, who he was. First of all, he was Mr. Zealous, wasn't he? So I imagine an Owen Carey. I imagine a big, exuberant personality, ready to say, "Yes, I'll go," you know, at the drop of a hat. But then he was humbled by his own weakness and sin, wasn't he? Especially when he denied Christ. Can you imagine carrying that about in your psyche all the years that you're a disciple? I'm sure that ran so counter to his personality and how he saw himself that I don't think that's something he maybe got over very quickly. But then the Lord prays for him, doesn't he? And he said, "Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would remain." And so Peter had been on the receiving end of intercessory prayer. And then the Lord charges him to feed my lambs, tend my sheep. And so now we have Peter writing in his epistles to fervently love the brethren, that love covers a multitude of sins. And so, you know, we all have pasts, don't we? We all have embarrassing moments, sinful moments with each other, even, not just on our own, but with each other. And yet, love covers that. We don't talk about that. We barely remember that about each other because of the love of Christ inside us. And so Peter was this powerful man, full of God's power, yet incredibly tender toward the weak. And he's calling us to prayer for one another. Fervent prayer. So prayer is an act of love. Prayer is an act of fervent love. And prayer, persistent prayer, is an act of aggressive love. For this last point, I want to take you to Mark chapter 9. And I'm just going to kind of summarize it because you know the story. This is the story of the demonized boy who would throw himself into the fire, into the water, the demon would, and throw the boy into the fire, the water. He'd foam at the mouth and so forth. And the disciples try to cast out the demon, and they are unsuccessful. And then Jesus comes, and the Father makes that great statement that we take comfort in, is, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Jesus casts the demon out. They think the boy is dead for a moment because he was so still, but then Jesus lifts him up, and he's free. And then the disciples privately ask him, why couldn't we cast it out? And he says to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. So I want to focus in on that word cast out or cast. We had a missionary speaker a few years ago who exegeted that word for us, and he said that that word cast is a very strong Greek word. It is almost violent. It means to hurl or thrust out or expel. And he used as a metaphor the picture of working on a nut, on a bolt, on an engine or a piece of machinery that is seized up with rust, and you just, no matter how hard you crank, it simply will not budge. And so for day after day, he said, you pull on that, trying to break it free, you squirt a little WD-40 on it, which is our prayers, you know, in the metaphor, and you keep working until one day you feel a little skitch. How many of you men and women have felt that first little, and you, inside, it's like this crazy lightning bolt goes through you, and it's like, did that just move? You know? And we see that when we're praying for a loved one sometimes. We see just that little movement that just is like electricity through us, and then it breaks free, and you have the breakthrough. So I want to ask you this morning, what is that stubborn thing in your life where you need a breakthrough? Maybe you're in a good spot and nothing comes to mind, but I'm sure for most of us, there is a situation that seems seized up so tightly that it looks like it'll never break loose. Where is the burden too heavy for you? Where do you need an ekbalo experience? I want to encourage us to aggressively ask each other to pray with you over that stubborn thing. You know, sometimes we think it's noble to kind of silently suffer. And we hope that people will perceive that we're silently suffering and then approach us, and then we'll know we're loved too. But that's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. So call the church and get it on the IPL. Arrange a weekly time with a few friends to pray about that one thing that you just can't break loose yourself. Aggressively advocate is my exhortation to you this morning, the way Laura and I have, for what you need, that seized up, stubborn thing. I'm so grateful to Mike Bros. Mike is out in the foyer watching over our cars in the parking lot. But years ago, when we were both working at St. John's Hospital, he was in the family therapy department. I was a psych tech, but we were friends. We went to the same church. He was kind of mentoring me in small ways about future schooling. And we'd had a great conversation. And as I was leaving, I said, Mike, let's do lunch sometime. Call me. And Mike said something that I've never forgotten. He said, Jim, the phone works both ways. See ya. And it stung a little bit at the time, but it's been a valuable lesson that if I want something, I need to ask for it. It's just a good life. Somewhere it says something like, you have not because you ask not. So again, the encouragement is, let's be willing to say what we need even more than we do. So we're winding down now. Persistent prayer is an aggressive act of love. At the end of Paul's exhortation in Ephesians 6 to put on the full armor of God, he says this, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for what? Anybody know? For all the saints." Right. For all the saints. So would you stand with me right now, and let's just pray about a few situations that are on our IPL where I think the Lord has directed me for us to pray for a breakthrough. And the first one is James Thorpe. James needs a job in addition to the church administrator's job. So, Lord, we ask you together as a body, your body here, for our brother, that you would bring just the right job to provide for his family, Lord, that they wouldn't have the stress of wondering if they're going to make it any longer, Lord, but you would bring it, Lord. We ask you to accelerate the process, Father, and bring a breakthrough, beautiful, wonderful, lasting employment for James. He's a good man, Lord. He's a godly man. We lift him up to you, and we pray that you will do that for your son, and we thank you in Jesus' name. I want to pray for Susan McCoy. Oh, Susan has suffered, and Randy has suffered. Lord, we pray for Susan for a breakthrough of healing. Thank you that this week she looked good. She was able to communicate even better than in the past. But God, we pray for healing for our sister in Jesus' name. God, please relieve her suffering, Father. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise, Lord. Your glory will just ripple through Tulsa, Oklahoma, and beyond, Father. We pray for a mighty miracle for Susan and Randy, and we ask you to continue to help Randy love his wife as he has, and even stronger with the love of Christ. And then, Father, we are mindful of Barb and Bill. Father, with this cancer diagnosis and the 12 chemo treatments, thank you that you've given her successful endurance through 5 of those. Lord, we're asking specifically that she would get through all 12 with minimal side effects, Lord. We pray that the side effects would even decrease even though that's not medically what happens, we pray that it would happen, Lord, and she'd get through all 12, she'd go into remission, and she and Bill would have many, many, many more years of delightful life together. Thank you for Bill, and help him to minister and to be strong in the Lord. And I know there's many others who need prayer, but let's leave it at that for right now. And as you just stay in a place of prayer, may our fervent prayers for one another come from a sincere love for one another. I pray that one of the hallmarks of TCF would be our prayer for one another. How fervent, how persistent, how aggressive, and that outsiders would look at us and say, "We know, we can tell they're Christians by their love." And they would say, "See how they love one another." Praying for one another is an act of love. Amen.